you know, what's required of us, and what's the end result of that? What happens when we do the things that God has called us to do? And so today, we're just going to simply look at what God has done in the life of the church, as he has built his church, as he has been faithful to his word, and then be encouraged what that means for us moving in the future. In Leviticus chapter 23, God speaks, and he says to Moses, "Speak to the sons of Israel, saying, in the seventh month, on the first of the month, you shall have a rest, a reminder by blowing of trumpets, a holy convocation or an assembly or gathering. You shall not do any laborious work, but you shall present an offering by fire to the Lord." Now, this is the Hebrew festival of Rosh Hashanah. It's basically their New Year. It's not celebrated December, but the idea remains the same, that when you turn the page, you take a moment to stop. And it's okay to stop. Everybody say, it's okay to stop. Our culture, our lives get increasingly busy. You know, if I had more time in the day, we would just fill it with something else. God says it is okay to stop, to rest, to look back. And what this celebration would do was they would simply say, God, we're going to give you praise for who you are, what you have done, your faithfulness to us, your provision to us, and in that have confidence and hope that you're going to do it again in the future. That's what this is about. So that's what we're going to do today, is just look back and say, God, here is what you've done. Now, does that discount all the hard times, the difficult times? No, because that's part of life too. And what I think in coming weeks we'll probably talk about that, the problem of evil in our world and how we face that. But it's also good to look at the good things. And again, when we put all these pieces together, and every person up here is kind of represents a puzzle piece, and they're going to talk about, you know, our leaders, our ministry leaders, and team leaders, and all these things, and every person who contributes to that. In past years, we had a practice of roll call. You guys remember roll call? Roll call was where, we took the first Sunday of the month, and every person would get up and give their name and what ministry they were involved in. You know, and it was a way of unifying and identifying the church and helping other people to get connected, to go, I don't know this person, or even to say, I didn't even know that ministry existed. I'd like to be a part of that. So we're going to, as the church has grown, though, it's just become unfeasible to do that, unless you guys want to make a day of it. Be here till about 3 o'clock, but kickoff's at 1, Cliff, so let's move it along. But today, by having the church management team up here, and you know, they're going to give a real brief summary of each of their ministries and the things that God has done, and identify people. It's another way for you all, you know, because maybe you're here for the first time, or you're new to the church, and you know, praise God then, because then you go, oh, I didn't know they had that. Let me be a part of that. How can I get involved with that? So that's what we're going to do. In 1 Kings 18, this is one of my favorite stories in the scriptures, is there's a showdown between the prophet Elijah and the prophets of Baal, and that was the false prophets. And what happened was the people of Israel were lost, confused. They didn't know which God to believe. Well, I don't know who's true, who's real. And so Elijah said, well, let's put it to a challenge. Let's put it to a test. You know, you prophets over here, you build an altar to your God, and I'll build an altar to Jehovah, and we'll both call upon our Lord, and whoever answers and burns up the altar by fire will know that's the real God, right? So the prophets of Baal go there, and they spend all day, you know, just going nuts, trying to call upon this altar to get burned up. And I love it because God's sense of humor, his sarcasm comes through really sharp. You know, Elijah's mocking him, saying, maybe call a little louder. Maybe your God can't hear you. Maybe he's in the bathroom, you know, like all this stuff. And all day, Elijah says, okay, you've had your turn. It's my turn. Let's see what Jehovah does. Now, we're in the middle of a severe drought, and so they take the altar, and they pour 12 big basins of water over this thing. The altar is just drenched, soaked. There's a moat around it. And then this is what happens here. It says, at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice, Elijah the prophet came near and said, O Lord, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, today let it be known that you are God in Israel, and that I am your servant, and I have done all these things at your word. Answer me, O Lord. Answer me that this people may know that you, O Lord, are God, and that you have turned their heart back again. Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt offering and the wood and the stones and the dust and licked up the water that was in the trench. When all the people saw it, they fell on their faces and they said, the Lord, he is God. The Lord, he is God. And so as we talk today, as we celebrate all that God has done, it's not about us. It's not about what we accomplish as human beings. We are simply his vessels. We're the conduit through which he flows. It is all about what God has done when we are obedient and when we have faith in him, which leads to obedience, the good things that as a result, and so that all the world knows he is the one true God. In Habakkuk 1, chapter 5, he speaks, he says, look among the nations, observe, be astonished, wonder. Because I'm doing something in your days you wouldn't believe it if you were told. And so we're going to look back and see what has God done, the incredible things that God has done that are almost too incredible to believe. And with that, we'll stir a hope in our hearts that what he's done before, he will do again. Amen? You ready to be astonished? Ready to be held in wonder? All right. Nancy, you're up first. No, no, you're not. No, you're not. Lied. Alicia's up first. I'm so excited. I'm throwing stuff. I'll stand here and click and MC, and then remember, you got 3 minutes, so get the gong ready.
Well, good morning, everyone. I'm Alicia, and I oversee our Welcoming Connection Ministries with a fabulous team of people that support and help those ministries happen. So we're going to begin with, well, Judy could not be here today. We miss her. She's not feeling well.
Hi, Judy. She's watching
on
the internet.
We love you. Judy and Sue Schaefer oversee our greeter ministry. Their mission is to show the love of Jesus to every person that comes to church today. And I have to tell you, our greeter team is so dedicated. They're here early on a Sunday morning at like 7:30 to assemble flyers and get things ready so that we can be ready at the door and get the welcome room ready for all those who are coming in, specifically our brand new visitors. And this past year, we had 134 families that came to the actual welcome room. So imagine how many brand new people. And that's only those who came to the welcome room. That is so awesome. And they are ready to minister and meet with those folks and help them to feel welcome. So thank you for inviting your friends, for inviting your family. That's awesome. They're coming. We're always praying. Every Sunday morning at 8:15, our greeters, our ushers, our connection team, our parking team, our ERT, which is our emergency response team, anyone who's on, we gather in the welcome room. We pray for our congregation. We pray for our pastor who's bringing forth the message. We pray that God will expand our borders and pull in from the north, south, east, and west all those who do not know the name of Jesus, or if they know his name, that they come and learn who he is so that they can come to know, love, and serve them. So,
absolutely. I mean, look, I'm going to jump in here when I feel the need to, which is probably going to be a lot. So 134 families, I mean, that is amazing, because that's the sign of a healthy church. That's the sign of people going out and saying, hey, come meet Jesus. And those are just the folks that said, yeah, I want to get to know more about this church. You know, I mean, that's an average of, that's over two people, you know, two families per week. That's a sign of a healthy church. So, again, good for you who are inviting people. All right.
Excellent.
That's your greeter team.
Wait, what else did I have there? Sorry. Yep, you can go on to the next part.
Why is my...
So as an expansion of our welcome ministries, I believe the next one's going to say...
Yeah, my clicker stopped.
If not, I'll just try to remember everything.
Nope, here. There you go.
No, I'm teasing. You're amazing. Yes, okay. So our next ministry, a branch off of our greeter ministry, is our connection team, which is overseen by Patty Broski. And that ministry is to help our visitors become fully connected members of our church. And they follow their progress, help them to take their next steps. So they also take care of our connection table out there so that you can have information at hand and hand out things to folks who might want to join you for a small group or might want to come with you to a girlfriend's brunch or a men's activity. They take care of helping folks to know what's happening out there. They also mingle in the lobby with the purpose of helping folks to get connected with other people who have common interests. Or again, if they have questions about ministry, that we can link them with an overseer of a ministry or a small group, and just pray with them, get to know their heart, get to know their story. Their passion is just to help folks to really know that they feel loved here and have a place to call home, and then help them take those next steps. So, oh, right there it is. And 31 baptisms this past year and 35 brand new members this past year.
Yep. That's worth celebrating, because those are significant steps in the spiritual progression, the maturity of a believer. So that's awesome. Again, that we pray and ask that there would always be someone every week who would make the decision to give their hearts to Christ and get baptized, receive the Holy Spirit. So that's awesome. Right.
And as Nancy announced real quickly, we do have that next step gathering coming up, which Ted and Joanne began this past year, which is excellent for those who are beginning to visit the church. So that's coming up at the end of January, and our membership class is coming up in February. Okay. So you'll see those in your
flyer. No more plugs now.
No plugs.
No announcements.
Okay, ready? Next is ushers. Okay, no plugs. Yeah, just giving credit. Okay, so our usher, this actually is a whole extension of our usher, our our gatekeepers and our parking team to do whatever it takes to help every person safely and comfortably participate in Sunday service. How many of you feel safe and comfortable when you know that we have an usher team, have some folks back there that you know are just keeping their eyes peeled for a need or protection and safety? You know, how many of you feel safe? Very thankful for our usher crew. If you're an usher, just give a little wave. If you're a greeter, give a wave. A connection person, just thank you all so much.
Absolutely.
Okay, then we have our Caring Friends Ministry, which started out a few years ago. Jody Schweizer put it into action. And starting this year, Donna Winter will be overseeing our Caring Friends Ministry. So if you want to give her a wave. So our Caring Friends Ministry really takes care of several things. And our Caring Friends is made up of many of you. I'm sure that many of you have helped, whether it was through meals. We probably provided for close to 40 families this year meals, whether they had a surgery or had a baby or were really down and sick or something happened that they really could use some meals in their home. But I want you to know, if you're at that place that you really could use help, please reach out to us. A lot of times folks will say, someone else needs it more than me, or, you know, I didn't really want to ask. Please ask. We want to know if you do need that type of help, because we have a large congregation and there's always someone who's able to help in some way. So we've helped with, so the Caring Friends has helped with several meals, helping folks come to the church that don't have a vehicle. They helped move even some homeless into a home this year if they didn't have a place to live, help them to get put somewhere just to help them have a place to live temporarily so they could figure out how to find a more permanent location, help some folks move. Many cards of encouragement. A family this year, Christmas gifts, a family of 10 total, so that's excellent. So
absolutely.
Caring Friends Ministry.
Yep. Connection groups?
Okay, thank you. My eyes. Connection groups. All right, so this past year we had 4 in-home connection groups. So if you oversee a connection group, give a little wave. I know the Rudolph Levages, Tim Weber, Jackie, and Dan, and Larry Wetzel, yep. And
Joe and Eileen.
At your house, right? At Joe and Eileen's house.
Yep.
And I know there's one more. If I forgot you, please forgive me. I said 4, but now I feel like there were 5. Okay. If I didn't say your name, you can come yell at me later. Forgive me. Please forgive me. Okay, so in-home connection groups, and I won't put a plug in, but we have those coming up, so check out the connection table. Okay.
I see what you did there. Well
and
done.
Several small groups this past year as well are women's groups, men's yep. groups, couples groups. So,
affinity groups are different than... So there's an affinity group for you. You can talk
about
that.
There's an affinity group. So Financial Peace University, I do oversee that. We had 15 graduate this past year, which is excellent, helping folks to get on track with their finances, getting out of debt, getting themselves an emergency fund, planning for retirement, planning to just get their family to a place that's going to be passed along from generation to generation. We want to get our finances in order. So this is a great place.
How many of you have been through Financial Peace? How many of you have been through Financial Peace? Enjoying financial freedom? Yeah? Absolutely.
Okay.
There you go.
Praise God.
All right, good job.
Excellent.
Okay, great. That's it. Oh, because I'll take the rest from here.
Excellent.
All right.
Good.
So small groups, affinity groups, Celebrate Recovery. Here's Scott. Hey, Scott, wave your hand there. Scott, here's Scott. All right. Celebrate Recovery is for any person experiencing a hurt, habit, or hang-up. It meets every Tuesday night here. This year was a year of transition. We transitioned from our leadership from Doc. Doc, I know, watching live stream. Love you, buddy. You and Deb up there in Maine. Doc transitioned to Scott. Scott's overseeing our Celebrate Recovery program. 2 years ago, Celebrate Recovery was on a lifeline. Like, we were close to disbanding the ministry, but God has revitalized it, re-energized it, brought it some good health and strength, and a lot of good things happened. They average about 45 people in attendance. I encourage anyone who's struggling with some life issue, come check out Celebrate Recovery. And I say that because I'm here most weeks for it. I can tell you it's a good thing. There's new team leaders, many, many, many volunteers who come and make it happen. This past year, we've seen an increase in awareness as a resource for the community, the parole department, the courts, and beyond that. Our community-based programs, our drug and alcohol agency, all saying, here, here's another resource. If you're experiencing, you need recovery in some area, check out Celebrate Recovery at Blue Mountain Community Church. It's a good place. What I love about it most is that we put the celebrate in Celebrate Recovery, right? Every week, someone gets up and says, hey, I'm celebrating victory over some issue, something in my life I'm working on, whether it's 30 days, 90 days, 6 months, a year, coming up on their 7th year anniversary. It's an amazing place to be. Check it out. So give a round of applause for Celebrate Recovery, because God's good. There's a picture we put up. We went to a recovery walk celebration in Lehighton this past summer. There's a bunch of the group that was there, had a table, and a good presence in the community, so that was a good thing. Mamas, you can talk about this one.
Mamas. Mamas falls under women's ministry, which my name's been Nancy Collins, and they fall under my ministry. Mamas is a really fun group for anybody who's ever been a mom, a grandmom, you know, your mom to other kids, maybe not your own. We have a lot of fun there. They joined this year with the Stepmoms group, and so Erica oversees Mamas and Corinne oversees Stepmoms. You guys want to raise your hands there? And so it's really for moms of any age, and it's just to kind of support each other and to learn from each other. And right now we're doing a study from September through May. We meet the first and third Wednesdays of the month, and it's right here at the church in the Outback Room. So yeah. Everyone's yeah. Welcome.
There's pictures
that.
There. Nice. A
couple pictures.
Yep. You can stay close because you're up soon. You stay close. All right. Prison ministry. Anita Whistler oversees our prison ministry. You know, these guys are just faithful because they go into the visit. They visit the prison, the county prison, twice per month. They had 60 visits this year. They visited 254 inmates. They supply goodies. They supply cards to the inmates. They, you know, help them out and the staff. They provide Bibles with them. They assist in their transition to the community when they get out. And the biggest thing that I love about this is that 45 inmates gave their hearts to Christ during their services this year. That's awesome. You know, it all ties together because, you know, recovery, Celebrate Recovery, you know, Jesus Christ is our higher power. We want to change the way we're living. We need him. That's the way it's it begins with him and it ends with him. It really is impossible without him. So that's a great way to introduce it. You know, people obviously hurting and saying, you know, taking stock of their lives. What do I need to do next differently? That's that. So that's a great thing there. We really appreciate the team member there. Anita also oversees our faith-based walkers club. It's a fitness club in Weisport. You can see that. The information's there. You can see Anita. You can stop by the Get Connect table, get any of this stuff. They have 20 to 25 people who participate there, being a light in Weisport. Anita also oversees our 24-hour prayer chain. So she's had a lot of requests come in this year. You need an emergency, you contact her. Goes out to her team. They pray. They intercede so that God can go to work on whatever you got going on there. So really good things happening there. Women's ministry. Told you you're back up.
I'm back. Okay. Our mission for women's ministry, you can see up there, to encourage, teach, and challenge ladies to know, love, and serve Jesus while feeling loved and connected. And we love our ladies here at Blue Mountain. We just want all the ladies to feel special. And so we do a few things. A few get-togethers so ladies can get to know each other. Our brunches, we have 3 per year, one coming up on February 8th. We have a women's retreat every year. We're going on our 24th women's retreat. Annual retreat, and last year we were in Rehoboth Beach. I think we'll have a picture of that group.
Yep.
We also, a group of us went to the Lisa Turkhurst Conference, and that was in October, and we also have a group called Hidden Hearts. Some of you don't know what Hidden Hearts is, but it's a group, kind of an email or a mail group. It's based on Psalm 119:11. Thy word have I hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. And so what it is ladies just trying to learn the word of God. And so every month you get a scripture verse to memorize, to journal in your book, you know, in your journal. You get a free journal to start out with. And you just kind of journal, you know, what that verse means to you and how God's speaking to your heart. So if anyone's interested in that, you come and see me. I'll get your journal to you and get you started in that group. And that's a picture of our last women's retreat at Rehoboth Beach this year, our 24th one. We're going to
that's
do
a plug.
Each. Yeah.
That's a plug.
Oh, yes, it is a plug. Sorry. I don't think I used my 3 minutes, so. Okay.
How many people went?
94.
94.
Yeah,
that's awesome.
94 ladies went on that.
All right. Thanks.
We had a great time.
Absolutely. That's great. Yep. Well, which segues actually into men's ministry. All since I'm here, we'll talk about that. It's not a plug.
Okay.
It's not a plug. The plug saying that men's ministry, we get together, we have breakfast once a week. If those of you interested in that, if you can make that, we do little events here and there. Guys get together, little pockets, they, you know, Duff back there, hosts a great wing night and horseshoes. Couldn't think of the word there. So that's a good time. And then we had our men's retreat this past year. It's our fifth annual, I mean fifth in a row, men's retreat. We had 35 guys go on it. You can see what we don't make, what we don't have in numbers, we make up for in terms of Oreos. So that's a draw for you guys if you want to come to that. That's really good. So, you know, guys on the men's retreat, part of men's retreat, men's activities, yep, good stuff, right? God doing a lot of good things out there. Yvonne.
Hey, I'm Yvonne Stout. I'm in charge of the children's ministry here. And before I forget, because I'm over there racking my brain, I don't want to forget one thing about, I just recently was brought on board with to help with the CR children's ministry, and loving that, loving working with Kayla. But I'm sitting over there going, I forgot to put that on the slide. So I wanted to say that real quick, and working with Scott and love you. So we're excited about what God's going to do there. And nervous, but that's all good too, right?
It's kind of how it works.
Yep. All right. So this year in review, there's just a couple pictures there of kids in the classroom. All of these children on the pictures. Yes, I have a photo permission slip for them. So if you ever are asked to sign a waiver form, please do that. Otherwise, we can't use your pictures, and we have to just throw them away. And sometimes they're really good pictures, and you know the ones we have sign off for. They're all blurry and we can't use them, so that's not really helpful. All right, so I'm going to move over here because these 50-year-old eyes, and that's way too small. Okay. Hi. All right. So we have about 120 volunteers. I'm not going to name names because I will miss someone at 120 plus. So if you're in the room, if you could just give a wave, if you help with children's ministry in any facet, even Bible school and CR now also.
Yeah, nice and high. Anybody?
Go high. Be proud, man.
All right, thank you. There you go.
There's I think 15 people back there right now with your children. It's a thankless job most times. Once in a while, we get a hug from a little, and that's awesome. That's the payment right there. Okay, so on the third Sunday each month, we have Mission Sunday, which covers foreign and local missions, and people step in there and talk about that to the third through sixth grade classes. And also on the fifth Sunday, which when that happens about four times a year, then we have America's Godly Heritage, and then people step in there and talk about what our country was founded on and spiritually and why that's important for our children to learn, because they're not learning it in school, so we feel like it's important for them to learn it here. Somebody's got to tell them, right? So, and thank you, Pastor. That was Pastor's idea to do that. So, and I'm not going to give a plug, but there might be something happening this summer on that topic. No plugs. Okay. So we have about 115 kids each week in the back. That's about an average there. And this year we've given out over 100 Bibles. That's just to students. My thought is on that, if we only see them one time, I need to get a Bible in their hand, right? They may never come through the door again. And maybe they don't pick it up, but maybe the parent does, right? So that's why we do that.
That's why we're investing in the next generation. 115 kids per week. That's astounding, folks. That is absolutely astounding.
That's exciting. I remember the first time I had over on the attendance sheet over 100 that came through, like, on the total, which I have my sign-in sheets. You guys sign your kids in. But I didn't, like, take the time to add it up, you know. And the first time I saw 100 on that attendance sheet, I just sat at my desk and wept. I said, Lord, help me. I have a church. So pray for me because I need it. Okay, so with volunteer hours, there's over 8,000 hours there given.
Yes. Yep.
Am I allowed to talk about it? Oh, this was last year.
Yep.
Okay.
You gave me the information, yes.
Just kidding. All right, so we had a good time. If you were here or you saw our big construction equipment we had on the walls, that was fun to put that together. So there's some stats on that. Building on God's foundation, 70 volunteers, over 2,000 volunteer hours, right?
That's
142
crazy.
Students.
Yeah. Who was here for Vacation Bible School, right?
Well,
who had your kids here for Vacation Bible School, right?
Yep.
Had a great time, absolutely.
It's a lot of fun, and we aren't exhausted on Thursday night. And we're glad it's over, but at the same time, there are tears of, I want it to keep going. That happens, which is awesome to see that. The kids would just keep on coming. So that's great. So,
what'd you raise for GoYou Missions?
Okay, so GoYou Missions, just a little over $2,000 we raised for GoYou Missions for their tuition centers to help bless them with them with Bibles.
Teaching our kids to invest in missions. That's right. and then they have a heart for it. That's amazing. That's
right.
Awesome.
Yeah. So and we try to teach that on a daily basis in the back, weekly basis in the back too. The kids are going to be little kids are going to be making a little bank today. So if your kids come home with that, and that money is for benevolence. Okay.
Great. Some of the stuff you handed out, and then...
Yep, that's... I won't waste time with
pictures
that.
Pictures there.
Pictures from Bible school, so colorful. We had the black lights on, so they were glowing. We made sure that they had, like, fluorescent stuff on, so that was real fun for the kids. And those are just some things we collected for the local missions, Peaceful Nights and Benevolence and the Palmerton School District and CareNet. I couldn't find my CareNet picture, I think, anyways.
Harvest Party.
Yep. This is not a plug. So that happened the first week of October, and does every year. So there were 20 volunteers, 20 plus, and that includes, people making food, in that also, because there's no way that I can make food for over 250 people. So when that happens again, if you guys, sign up and help me out with that, that'd be great. So then let's see. I won't go into all of that. That was fun. So that was just some pictures there. Our photo op, we have family photo op. And we had so many people come that we ran out of food. And I am sorry. And I went back and made some meatballs for that. Okay. But that was, it's a good problem. Is that my end?
That's your end.
Okay. So without it being a plug, there's a lot of fun things happening this coming year. And so stay tuned.
All right. That's right. So. Usually on a CMT meeting, I get 3 minutes, so I'm really going to be good at this. That's good. Okay, see ya. But anyway, we did a huge project this year. We put a $40,000 roof on, not part of this building, but from here all the way back, and it's all paid for. Thank you.
Yep. Lloyd, a man of few words, but when he talks, you're listening. Here's a Google Earth picture. You can see there's the old roof, and you can see we got these two-tone roofs going back here, and then these guys come out and replace it. It's all new, and we're going to talk more about that in just a minute. So, Lloyd, make sure, again, I come back to that's this port. Lloyd's vision is to support the ministries and their goals. So, you know, you need something, he makes it happen, and it's pretty awesome. Okay, Pastor Ted.
Yes, this year, again, was a year of transition for me. I was handing off Elevate Student Ministries and becoming the congregational care pastor over this past year. Basically, in 2016, we released Nate to follow his call, and Pastor Rick asked if I would enter into the student ministries there, and I took that, and for 3 years we did that. But over the past year, I was able to gradually hand off that ministry to Brandon, who will give his report in a little bit.
He's next.
But what an awesome thing. I was a little too old for student ministries, but Pastor Rick put his faith in me, and we were able to get through those 3 years, and I think we had a good time. But when I was able to hand it off to Brandon, it was at the same time we were starting this grand experiment of Saturday night ministries and a service. And how many of you have been to a Saturday night service in the past year? Yes, many of you have, and it ministered to a lot of our needs. It brought a number of people in as a gate of bringing people in, but I was able to give pastoral leadership to that service, as well as be part of the Connections ministry there, helping people to come in and feel comfortable, counsel. I even did a wedding, someone who came in on a Saturday night, and the funerals if necessary. Of course, we didn't have any funerals for Saturday night, and so we didn't lose anybody, right? That transition occurred, and I now my title is Congregational Care Pastor. Over the past year also, we've had two elderly pastors desiring to retire, and Pastor Doc and Pastor Lee, they both asked if I would take over their responsibilities, and that is in visitation, hospital visitation, and shut-ins, as well as counseling. So that's what I'm doing. If you have an emergency or a need, you'll find that my cell number is in the bulletin. So if you have a need, give me a call. I'd be glad to help you in any way that I can. Started a small group this past year called Journey Through the Bible, and we're almost through the Old Testament, and in the beginning of the year, we'll start the New Testament. So I'm excited about that as well. Next Step Gatherings. My wife and I have worked together to bring that about so that if you're new to the church, you can come in and get to know about the ministries of the church, about the pastors within the church, and get to know people who show up there. So it's always a good time.
Your small groups, your oversight and then passing it?
Yes. As the small groups have developed, the Connections group, I was giving some pastoral leadership to that. And as I was taking other areas on, I then passed it, the leadership of that back to Alicia. But I'm still giving some pastoral oversight to that. But just I encourage the small groups that they're the lifeblood of our church and get involved. If you're not involved in a small group, sign up for one.
Yep.
What am I else?
It's your family stuff if you want to talk about that.
Family stuff.
Your transition.
Oh.
If you want to talk about
yes.
that.
Yes. Another transition in my life was one of loss. My dad passed away this past summer, and he was kind of the leader, spiritual leader of our lives, and to be able to receive that mantle from him and to carry that has been a gift to me, and to know that God had gave me a spiritual father, and now that I he has passed that off to me permanently, and I hold his torch as well. Mm-hmm. But pray for my family. We continue to transition there as we make different moves. My mother had to move and different things, and pray for me. But I rejoice in the transitions. I feel like I've arrived here and I've been transitioning ever since, but I feel like I'm in a sweet spot now. God has
Amen.
Brought me to a place of congregational care pastor, which is the area that I love. And so if you have any needs, give me a call.
Amen. Brandon's
plug, right?
Hi, everybody. I'm Brandon Wagner. I oversee the teens with Elevate and our young adults in the Emerge program. Our mission is helping today's teens know, love, serve, and share Jesus. And our vision is to create a place where all teens feel safe and know they matter to us and Jesus. And we stand by that. Every week we tell the kids that we care about them and that if they're going through anything, we want them to be able to talk to us one-on-one as often as we can. We try to be there for the kids. We reach out through Facebook and through Instagram and just Twitter, letting them know that we're here, that we're ready for them whenever they're ready to come and hang out and just be with us. We want them to feel like this is a place where I can come and just be me. And while they're there, we teach them a little bit about Jesus. So this year, I took over in September full time. I had been working with Ted starting in January, learning about Elevate and how to run it, and turns out it's a lot more than just preaching on a Wednesday night. So that was an eye-opener, but it was good. It was a good transition, learning how to do a little more managerial things and how to handle the money and make sure stuff is scheduled ahead of time. And I don't work that way. My brain doesn't work that way. So thinking in advance was new for me, but it's been good. God's been really good. I have 10 dedicated volunteers. Doors open at 6 o'clock, and some of them are there as early as 4:30, making sure that Elevate runs smoothly, that the kids have food, that there's a worship band practicing and ready to lead them into the presence of God. They're all amazing, and I could not do Elevate without them. So if you're in this room and you're one of my Elevate leaders, please raise your hand. Thank you guys so much. I really appreciate you. Starting back, I had sign-in sheets from the beginning of the year, so we averaged out, counted them all up, and we averaged 12 kids a week last year. When I took over in September, my first week, I had 4 kids. So praise God for 12. I will take Amen. 12. My goal for next year is 20, so we're trusting God, and we're gonna work through that. We have our weekly Wednesday meetings. We have our Bible study that was on Thursday night is now Sunday during first service because the parents asked for the Sunday Bible study to come back, so we brought it back. We have monthly activities where we go and do things in the community. This coming month, at the end of the month, we're going to...
That's a plug.
This month we're doing something. Next month we're doing something. So if you want to have some fun, come do some things with us. We have big events that happen throughout the year. We took the kids to Creation Festival last summer, and I think I had 12 kids go total. They didn't all come with me. Some of them went with Debbie, but we had a pretty full camp. Was it 12? I don't think it was quite 12. I think I'm mixing up another number. But we had a handful of kids go, and the storm came through and destroyed the campsite. But we had a good time nonetheless.
Good times, yep.
God was there and God moved, and it was good. Neon Night is our annual blackout party. We fill the room with black lights and decorate the room in neon colors, and it all glows. The kids wear bright colors, and we have a really good time. In the past, we've had some colleges attend and lead the worship for us, so it's just it was really good this year. We had, do you remember today? It was like 50-something kids come, and it was pretty darn close to half of the kids that raised their hands said that they'd never been to Elevate before. So that was really cool to see that kind of turnout. And Winter Blast is coming up next month.
It's a plug.
You put it on the slide.
You went last year.
Okay, we went last year. Winter Blast is our annual winter retreat, and it's a good time. It's a weekend away of just worship and fellowship and games and a chance to spend time a little more one-on-one with the teens, playing games with them and just getting to be there with them while they worship God, which is amazing. Teens help this year. We try and give them opportunities to serve the community. And this year we came alongside Benevolence, and when they did the Thanksgiving baskets, we delivered 12 of them to homes, to families who couldn't come and come here and pick them up. So we went to them and delivered the baskets to them. And that's such an awesome opportunity for the kids, and I love seeing them have the opportunity to serve in that way. And then we also were able to bring Christmas to 7 children this year who otherwise wouldn't have it. So we took the kids out. They bought the Christmas presents. And we brought them back, and the following Sunday we wrapped them here. We had a wrapping party, and then the following week we delivered them to the families. So it was a really great year for us. I'm looking forward to what God's going to do in the year to come. Hopefully it'll be full of more kids and less stress, but hey, fingers crossed and prayers sent. Good luck, yeah.
I'm going to cover for Judy Eckhart this morning. I'm the other Jay Eckhart, so we just, you know, kind of go hand in hand. Judy's not feeling well today, as Cliff said, but her heart is for outreach. She just loves to take what we're doing here at the church and take it out, and also to help the community know what they're missing if they don't come here. So she loves to share advertising. So this year, we actually merged our website team and her ministry, which was outreach, to what we call advertising and marketing. And we have a team of about 12 people on that. We've met a couple times at my house, and we're joining forces to get as many people as possible to come to the church, to hear about the church, to know about it, that they can come and be part of what we're doing here. So we do, we live stream on 100/Radio, hi Mark. Mark Ripley does that for us, and we're just so thankful for those tuning in today. Welcome. We also advertise on Instagram. We have an Instagram page. We have our public Facebook page. There's two different ones. One is, it's Blue Mountain Community Church, but you want to put the little @ BMCC Palmerton, okay? And then we also have the Going to Church is Fun at BMCC. So we have two separate Facebook pages. Then we had our Easter and Christmas services at Penn's Peak, which we advertised very heavily. We got the billboards and the posters, the yard signs, invite cards, our program, the newspaper ads, the Facebook Live. We just try to get it out there as much as we can. And then we also have an online store, which we do with Printing for You. So we sell shirts and all kinds of things to raise money for the advertising and marketing, because it is expensive to advertise. We use as much free stuff as we possibly can, but there are some things that we do have to pay for, like the digital billboards and things like that. But they've been really great working with us, too. We're really thankful for that. And then Judy oversees the Pomeran Festival with Lloyd. And they get together, and I think Becky Christman is involved, and I know there's a big team there. But the Pomeran Festival is an amazing outreach that we do once a year, and we always have a great time. This year we had gorgeous, perfect weather, right? And we're praying for that again. So pray for us for good weather next year again. But that's just a great way to serve the community and meet people in the community, and that was really fun, a fun weekend. And then also we did Christmas trees in the park in Lehighton and in Pomeran. That was part of our advertising team that did that. And, yeah, so that was great to just kind of get everything out to the community. So I know that Judy is really thankful for this church and for, you know, all that you guys give. And she just wants to take what you're doing and get it out there. So
yep. All that generates interest, which gets people in the door, which then allows them to experience the body working together to help them experience God in a relevant way. So it's all connected. It's all a massive part of it. So I'm going to talk about the treasurer's report briefly. Lori couldn't be here this morning. Lori does a lot of, you know, she helps. She pays the bills. She's the one who tracks the money. And this is just amazing that, you know, you can see, you know, we're completely transparent here. Our financial reports hang on the wall here. You can check it out anytime. You can see exactly how much money comes in and where it goes. This year we saw, we're talking just a tithe of almost $600,000 this year, which is an increase of over $27,000, which is just simply amazing how God works in your lives to put your faith, put your money where your faith is really what it comes down to, that you trust God in his word to say, yes, we're going to give in obedience to his word. And really that's a hallmark to say, is God in this or not? Because we don't ask for your money. We're not promoting that. We're not here to like, hey, you know, I'm not sending reminder cards. You know, we haven't seen you, so where's your, none of that. We just simply tell you, here's what God's word says, and put it in your hands to say, you know, do with it what you feel is what you believe the Lord's telling you to do. Be faithful to it. So thanks to you, amazing to you, for being faithful and obedient to God's word, because not only does it keep the lights on, but it allows us to do all these things that are reaching our community. So thank you. That's applause. There you go. Above the minimum of the tithe is what, you know, what God says is offerings over $162,000. That's an increase of $37,000. People giving above and beyond to those in need, reaching out, going into God's debt, God's in our debt when we give to those in need. So that's a tremendous. We're going to talk about benevolence in just a minute. Well, there it is again. There's $18,000 in offerings, and they gave out then $17,200 in needs. $17,000 meeting the needs of our community, making an impact for Christ. We gave $28,000 in support to Goya Missions, our missionaries that we support in India. Rick and Ted and I were actually there in February. We didn't even really talk about that. We went over there to visit Valu and Vijay and see the work that God's doing there. $28,000 in support, $6,000 to Valu, to his family, to support him, and then $26,000 in offerings to the tuition centers that are in the slums of the cities, investing in kids, giving them an education and a meal, which then transitions into giving them the gospel, which reaches their parents and their families, because they're saying, why are you investing in our kids? Well, because Jesus loves them. And so the gospel is going into the darkest of places in India and raising people up out of the muck and mire, all because of your support. So thank you for that. And Lloyd talked about we had a major capital expense this year, $39,000 for the roof. We trust God with it. We said, okay, we're going to do it, you know, and we put the roof on, and we just kind of let that, we were carrying that negative balance, and we're going to pay for it out of local missions. It's okay, you know, Lloyd's really good about holding the line and doing the best he can with the money. And then I'll just, you know, share with you that last week, right before New Year's Eve, somebody contacted me and said, hey, you know, we'd like to give to the church. You know, we just want to, you know, you guys are doing a good thing there. We want to donate. Handed us a check for $40,000 and covered it all. So God's pretty cool with that. Benevolence, part of that is our benevolence ministry. Jane and Gracine and Diane, or I know Diane's here somewhere. There she's up there. You know, you guys, you know, reaching out and being the arms of Jesus to those in need. You know, people come to us and they say, hey, I need help. We direct them to the benevolence ministry. They assisted 26 families this year. You can see that's about one every 2 weeks. We get a family where we help them out with some financial issue, all paid through for by your offerings that you give. That doesn't include the food and gas cards that we give out just in the moment there. 75 Thanksgiving dinners went out this year to people in need. And then 45 kids received Christmas gift cards. So again, just demonstrating the love of Christ by putting our money where our faith is and saying, here, we have, so let's give to those in need. So again, amazing. All those people experiencing the love of Christ. Many, many of them have never even been in church before, let alone here. So it's, you know, being relevant, being authentic with them. Thank you. It's just awesome.
All right. So I'm the associate pastor and also wife to Cliff. So that's a big job, right, Nancy? She was always wife to Rick, right? I get to work alongside my best friend, and that's really been great, right? This last year was our first full year of ministry together, and that was really fun. So I oversee our arts ministries, which is music, the audiovisual, drama team, and I have, of course, leaders that help me. Lloyd oversees our AV team, and he makes sure all the technical stuff is taken care of, which I don't know how to do all that stuff, so I'm really thankful for him and for Debbie, and Bob does a live stream, and Matt and Tim do the CD. I'm so thankful for that whole team. And the drama team, Kathy McSparron oversees, and she's got a great team of people that are talented and gifted to share the gospel in a unique and fresh way. So that is a great blessing to me. And I have Hank Broski, who helps me. He's my sidekick. He is so faithful here every week to help me to lead worship, and I'm really thankful for my whole team. We also had Seth Shoemaker, who oversaw our Saturday night worship, which I really appreciated him doing that in that time that we had the Saturday nights. Jessica Neal, she does the worship for our Celebrate Recovery. And Haley Broski leads our Elevate worship. And, of course, there's so many people that contribute to that. But it's just neat. I love it that there's worship happening here almost every single night of the week, which just makes me, you know, really excited. So I also oversee our special services planning, which is Penn's Peak, everything we do up there, the Christmas and Easter services. And I have to say one thing that's very heavy on my heart is making room for people. I'm the type of person, and Cliff knows, when we're going to have a party, I want anybody to be able to come. I want everybody to be able to come. And I learned that as a child. I can still remember coming to a meeting with Pastor Rick. He was leading a meeting, and he said, we have to have an empty chair. At every single meeting, we had to have an empty chair because we always wanted to say there is room for at least one more person. So we always want to make sure there's room for one more. And at Penn's Peak, it allows us to have room for couple hundred more, which I love that. So that's why we do a lot of our outreaches there. Many, many years ago when I was very young, I felt the Lord speak to my heart that he would be using us at Penn's Peak sometime, because Penn's Peak's really close to our house. And, you know, I just felt that in my heart, and I didn't know what that was going to look like, but now we're seeing God just unfold that and allowing us to use it for our special services. We also do the music ministry does the telethons. We do the Dream Come True telethon and the American Cancer Society telethon, and it's really cool how the Lord just worked it out for us to be part of that and to minister to the community and really share Jesus, even if we only have a few minutes to say that mission, say that vision, and give the hope that is in Jesus Christ. And it's all for one. If just one person says yes to Jesus, when we get together as those teams to put together a special service. Now, I want you to raise your hand if you were at all involved in our Christmas Eve service, like you baked cookies, you did the parking team, you were at all involved in helping make that come together. Everybody. I know that it's almost everybody. All right. Thank you very much. This, doing what we do takes a team. And when you see our team up here, we are all involved in each other's ministries in some way, right? Like we work together. And if somebody's doing something, we get on board to help them do it. Or we at least pray or contribute in some way. And I love that we're kind of intertwined. We're not separate ministries, just kind of out there doing our own thing. We work together, and it really does take a team. And then, of course, with advertising and outreach, Judy and I, we work on that together. And yes, we're celebrating 39 years as a church this weekend. I think it's worth celebrating. Pastor Rick and Nancy started the church in 1981, and Rick maybe will say something about that. But I just think it's so awesome to celebrate. And next year is going to be 40 years, which we won't give a plug or anything, but we're going to have a party and everybody's going to be invited. All right. So you can see our pictures from Easter at Penn's Peak. And one thing that's really cool to me is, as Cliff's toggling through there, we had praise night here this year. Again, we will probably do that again. We had the praise night, Dream Come True Telethon. You see all this, these ways that the Lord has used us to reach the community. And on Christmas Eve, we felt that the title should be Simply Jesus, just all about him. Because really, salvation is all about that God loves us and he reached down to us. So we had the most people at that service than we've had at any other service that we've had so far at Penn's Peak. So it is growing because you guys are sharing it with your friends and our advertising and marketing team's getting that out there.
Yep, absolutely.
Okay? I think that's it for me.
Who, me?
Who are you?
Mayor Nancy. Y'all know Nancy?
Yeah.
Love of my life. Cliff, what'd you go sit down for?
Oh, yeah.
If you're wondering why I got the padded chair, it's not because it's a throne. It's because I played ping pong on New Year's Eve to the point where my back won't... So I could not sit on a stool. So I said, but you'll be glad to know that I won the championship in ping pong. So although there was only four contestants and it wasn't an open invitation. All right. Yeah, 2019 has been quite a year. It's funny, it was coming into the service here. I was talking to Cliff in the back there. I said, I feel a little bit like Tom Brady right now. If you're not a football fan or the Patriots fan, you don't know what I'm talking about maybe. But in 2019 was a year that I really started dialing back. I'm sitting back there listening to everybody up here talking, and my mind flashed back really to November 1980 when God woke me up off the couch and said, Rick, I want you to start a church in this area, for I have no one who will preach my uncompromised word to prepare my people for my soon return. And I said, no way. And he said, and it got nothing. It got real quiet. And then finally, after several weeks, I said, okay, Lord, but you've got to build your church. And he said, a deal. And as Nancy and I talked about, you know, what this meant for us to start a church, there were some things that we just felt that, number one, the whole purpose of the church is to help people become disciples of Jesus Christ who do not know him. And so we had to reach the lost first and then disciple them to become followers of Jesus Christ who reproduce themselves into other disciples. To do that, we decided, first and foremost, Jesus said, put the children first. And so from day one, we have said we are first and foremost going to make sure that our children, whoever comes to this, to our services, wants to come back. And they're going to beg their parents, please, I want to go back there because I loved it. And our very first service, we held in a cottage over in Bowmanstown, and Nancy took all the kids to the second largest room in the cottage, the bathroom. And you had 11 kids, right? Mm-hmm. 11 children. And the kids loved it. And ever since that day, and Yvonne is still carrying on. And I know many of you have experienced this, and you've brought your kids here for the first time. They're like, I want to go back to that church because that's fun there. And Jen often tells the story when she came. You were what, 6, 7?
Yeah.
And she went home and her daddy said, so what'd you learn in church today? And she started rattling off for the next 15, 20 minutes. And he said, wow, you learned more in one Sunday school class than I learned my whole year going to church. And so then, the whole family came. So that's putting the kids first. That's number one. Then you notice 120 volunteers. It's the largest ministry in our church. 120 volunteers to teach the kids. Why? Because Jesus said, if you love me, you're going to put the kids first. The second thing that we said was, you know something? Music is the language of the culture. We're out to reach the lost, those who don't know Christ. From day one, we are going to have music that's going to touch the souls of those who don't know Jesus. We've never been an old hymn singing church because that's not our focus. We want to reach folks who don't know Jesus. So, in 1981, nobody was talking about this stuff, and we were called the Rock and Roll Church. We actually had drums, believe it or not, And but But you know, and it's still going on, isn't it? We're still a rock and roll church, and we're still reaching our generation because the music is the language of the generation, and we're not going to get stuck in this generation or the next generation. We're going to reach today's generation. And the third thing was, we're going to preach the uncompromised word of God. You know, let the chips fall where they may, but we're going to say what God's word says and see what God does. I am so proud of Cliff and Jen, how they are carrying on that tradition. They bring God's uncompromised word. They open the word of God. They teach it in a way that's understandable and the way you can apply it. And as a result, lives change. And that's what it is. That's what it is. That's what it does. So we had we started Saturday services last November. Just be honest with you, I thought there might be some folks who need to wean off a Rick. So if somebody needs to hear me preach, they can do it, right? So I came and we preached, and Ted provided the pastoral leadership. But to be honest with you, doing it every week, it's just something that, you know, I can't do it anymore. And it became obvious that the need wasn't as great as necessary. And so we closed those services on Saturday nights. Now, you know, we don't know what's going to happen in the future. But, you know, what was really exciting, wasn't it, Ted, was that I would say at a majority of those services, somebody gave their heart to Jesus. It was amazing, really. I mean, in a crowd of 35, 40 people, there would almost be somebody who would say, yes, I'm going to accept Jesus for the first time. And, again, every service, so our prayer has always been, every service, Lord, let at least one person make the decision that's going to change their eternal destiny from hell to heaven. Every service, Lord. We're pretty close to that, pretty close to that. This has been a year when you look at those figures there and you see that actually in the year that I wound down and stepped back, and really the only thing that I'd really do right now is I oversee the church management team, I oversee the staff meeting. I do the pastoral prayer sometimes. I'm going to preach every 4 to 6 weeks, something like that on a Sunday morning. But really, Cliff and Jen are the guys that are in charge. And it's just been amazing. When you look at the figures, the church has actually grown under their leadership when I've stepped back. So maybe I should have stepped back sooner. I don't know. No, but, you know, it's just, I'm just thrilled. I could not be happier. And, people talk to me often about how amazing and incredible, because what you guys are experiencing right here in this church transition is really unheard of in the church world. Most of the time, when a church leadership has to go through a transition, if somebody's been there for a long time, like 40 years, usually that guy leaves. There's just some kind of power play, bring somebody in, remove the whole staff. You know, the whole politics goes in, and really never has there been a situation. It's very rare that you'll ever find where the next generation was raised up in the church, mentored, trained, takes over gradually, slowly but surely, and then the congregation just embraces them and never misses a step. But that's exactly what's happened here, and I am absolutely thrilled. Praise God. Amen. Did I do 3 minutes?
Close.
Did I fill my 3 minutes?
Yeah, right. Yeah, close. Why do we do all that? You know, I mean, Paul said in Ephesians 3 that God's plan from the beginning was to make himself known, to make himself, his knowledge, his majesty, and the revealing of the mystery of him was to make himself known through the church. To those who don't know him, to the spiritual forces of darkness, he said, I will make myself known through the church. He said, and the very gates of hell will not stand against it. It's not about, again, we said in the beginning, it's not about us. It's not about any one person. It's about being obedient to God's word, following his direction, and then seeing what God does. In 1 Peter 1, Peter says this. He's talking to believers. He's talking to those who are going through difficult times. Because we paint this great picture of all this wonderful stuff that happened and go, yeah, well, you know what? There was some really bad stuff that happened in 2019. And it wasn't all easy, right? There was bumps in the road. There was difficult times too. Peter says, in this you greatly rejoice, even though now for a little while, if necessary, you've been distressed by various trials, so that the proof of your faith, the genuineness of your faith, being more precious than gold, which is perishable, even though tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. And though you have not seen him, you love him. And though you do not see him now, but believe in him, you greatly rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, obtaining as the outcome of your faith the salvation of your souls. The righteous live by faith, and that's a matter of authentic belief results in authentic action. What do you truly believe in your heart of hearts dictates your actions. And that's when we see all the the puzzle come together, we see all these pieces. All of that is the result of each and every one of you who in your hearts has said, yes, I believe the word is true. I believe Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life, that he wants to lead me to the abundant life. And as a result of that, I'm willing to put my attitudes and my actions where my belief system is. And this is the result of all that. Lives touched every day. Somebody makes, makes a difference in their lives of coming, drawing closer, pointing towards Jesus, and further away from the old destructive life. And that's what it's all about. So we give God the glory for that, and God proves himself that he will bless authentic faith every time. Not just in terms of resources, but in terms of lives changed for him, because he's good all the time. Amen? Amen. So what has God done to astonish you? We're going to come to the Lord's Supper here. I know we're close here, but we're going to end with the Lord's Supper. It's the first Sunday of the month. So you guys, unless you want to stand and sing, you can probably. The night before he was betrayed and hung on a cross, Jesus Christ spent time with his closest friends. He shared a meal together. So on the first Sunday of the month, we observe communion. We do it so that we seal it in our hearts, so that it doesn't become cliched or routine, but something special. And so in this first Sunday of 2020, we look back and say, God, what amazing things you've done. It's incredible to think about it. That night, Jesus, he took the bread and he broke it. And he said, this is my body. Eat it in remembrance of me. He took the cup. He said, take and drink. This is my blood poured out for you for the forgiveness of all sins of all mankind forever. He said, as often as you eat this meal and you drink this cup, you proclaim my death until I return again. What was important here is that Jesus was about to say, God, I know what's coming. The cross is tomorrow. There's no way around it, Lord. That's not going to be fun. That's not going to be easy. But Lord, your will, not mine. And so Jesus himself is the example to us to say, God, it's not about me. It's not about what I want to do or accomplish. It's about what you want to accomplish. Thank you for your grace to see me through it. And I know that as I am faithful and obedient to you, you will bring about an outcome that is far greater than anything I could accomplish on my own. And so as we, the ushers will lead you row by row. We're going to sing a song. We're going to sing Overwhelmed. It's kind of an upbeat, fun song because God is amazing. He did all of that because he loves you. We do all of this stuff because we want you to know that God loves you. So I'm just going to have everyone just close your eyes for just a minute. If today, you want to enter in that relationship with Jesus Christ, I'm just going to ask you to, just put your hand up. Today's a day you say, I'm overwhelmed by what God has done, and I understand that he loves me, and I want to be a part of that. Today's a day I'm entering a relationship. Anybody here today making a decision? Let's pray. Father, we just thank you for this morning. We thank you for our time together. Lord, we do thank you for all that you have done. We know, Lord, that you make it possible. And Lord, because you've done it in the past, we know you'll do it again. And so, Lord, now we do submit to you all the things in the coming year that we're looking forward to, the things that are on our hearts, on our minds, Lord. Lord, we lay them at your feet. We thank you, Lord, that you help us, that you speak to us according to your word. Lord, because we believe in our hearts, our attitudes and our actions will be in accordance with that. And as a result, Lord, we'll be astonished at what you're going to do. We give you all these things, Lord. We thank you and praise you for them in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. The ushers will lead you row by row. Come on up, tear off a nice chunk, dip in the juice, go back. Enjoy this time of celebration. We love you guys, and we'll see you next week. All right?